Hi everyone, Michael Sparks here, and this is the AMSOIL dealer training call for our team. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2015. This call is open to all who would like to learn how to have more success with the AMSOIL business opportunity. You may be listening to this call live or on the recording, but I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your day. We enjoy doing these calls, and we hope that they are a benefit to you and your AMSOIL business. If you like what you hear, consider sharing these calls with your team. We have over 3 years of dealer training calls available on our dealer training website. You can visit that by going to www.lube-direct.com. You can also listen to these calls via iTunes or Stitcher. So if you have a smartphone or you like to listen to podcast type of shows, all of our calls are available on that those services. Just go to the dealer training site and click on the iTunes link or the Stitcher link, and you can get set up with that. Tonight we have a special call. A while ago, I was a guest on a call with George Douglas, who is an AMSOIL Regency Platinum 4-star direct jobber. This was a great interview, and I wanted to share it with you tonight. So without further ado, let's go on to the call.
So I'm going to go ahead and interview Michael Sparks. He's a Regency Silver direct jobber. And Michael, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everyone. How are you tonight?
Good. Just want to make sure you're still with us.
Go here.
Yeah. Michael sent over a kind of like a little bio or cheat sheet for me to ask him some questions. But he'll give us a little bit of his story and how he got started and where he's at today and where he's heading and, you know, his goals and that sort of thing. Michael, looks like you became a dealer in 2000, looking for oil for your 150 Ford pickup truck. Is that correct?
Yeah, George. Just was already using synthetic oil, and that was about the time when Castrol, not too long after that, when Castrol was pushing this Group 3 synthetic, which the whole marketplace is gone, but I found this out that it wasn't a true synthetic, and this guy who happened to be an airline pilot as well, he started talking about this AMSOIL stuff. I never heard of it. I've been in the automotive. I've always liked cars and done my own maintenance and never heard of it until then. And couldn't really believe the $25,000. I thought he was full of it. But this guy actually specializes in oil analysis. He has his own oil analysis company. He's actually no longer a dealer. But he convinced me after looking at a bunch of oil analysis that AMSOIL is true to its word and actually could go longer than the $25,000. So I was sold. Yeah.
Okay. And that was in year 2000. And
2000.
You, yep. Then you started. Now you were in the military at that time, weren't you?
Well, I had gotten off of active duty actually in '96. My ex-wife was active duty, so I had kind of followed her around for about 7 or 8 years after I got off active duty. I've been in the National Guard since 1988. 8 years active duty, and then '96 I got off active duty and have the rest of the time in the reserves and / National Guard. So I was in El Paso, Texas at the time. She was stationed at Fort Bliss, and I was, you know, most people are a spouse and they come in the military. It's usually the woman, but I was the male spouse. It's the wife was in the military. So we
you were the dependent, huh?
I was dependent. Yeah, the dependent. That's right. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting, and so you've been around the military off and on for quite a while then.
Yeah, 26 plus years is what I have now currently, and I can stay till I'm 60. I don't know whether I will or not. I stay mainly, probably like a lot of people that have full-time jobs, for the benefits. Health care alone is pretty much worth the reason to stay for me in the National Guard, so that's why I stay.
Okay, and I see you play saxophone in the Army band, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've been all over the country. You got some kids, and
Yep, gotcha. I have one daughter with my ex-wife, and then I got remarried about in 2011, so this is my third year here, and my wife has two boys, so
okay.
We have yeah.
Okay.
And a couple grandkids.
Now, yeah, and I see you enjoy investing in real estate and gardening, and you're homesteading on a 30-acre farm, and you're being able to do this primarily, probably a lot to deal with, to do with the benefits of working on a business like AMSOIL, I would think.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, as our businesses get bigger and more full-time and you don't have to put as much energy into it, and I think a lot of dealers don't realize that at the beginning, you have to put so much energy for a little bit of work, and then after a certain point in time, this little line crosses where the amount of energy and the amount of reward you get out of it, the reward is higher than the energy. So now we can go on and do different things and enjoy life, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Good. And you've got a good downline going now also, and I think business model do you work the most, or do you feel the most comfortable with, or you feel that maybe that's your best way to build as quick as you can?
Well, starting out, my sponsor, Jim Ball is his name. Actually, my sponsor, but my original direct jobber, Jim Ball, is no longer alive. But he hammered the commercial retail, but primarily the retail on the shelf account. And he says, if you have, and he would always say, if you have 100 accounts doing $100 a week, that's $10,000 a week. 52 weeks in a year, that's $104,000, you know, dollars. So, $10,000, you'd make 20% of that in the form of a check. So $2,000 a week times 52 weeks is $104,000 a year. So I started out with that when I first got started. That's probably my strongest cash flow money-making way right now. And then I also really got into the sponsoring, the multi-level marketing portion of it. So those are my two strongest parts of the business currently.
Well, what do you see in the multi-level marketing then, when you can ROTS accounts, you can and fleet accounts too? You know, you can see a quicker payback
mm-hmm.
on those activities.
Yeah.
Why do you go multi-level then?
Well, for the long-term residual income, you know, sometimes the businesses quit, or they go out of business, or they find a different product. And if you can find a dealer that wants to work at the business, and they can get themselves up to a good level of steady income, 500, 1,000, whatever, a couple thousand bucks a month, a direct job or what have you, they're not going to quit the business. They're going to keep working at it, and it just makes sense for long term. And AMSOIL says this in their literature, if you really study that stuff enough, you know, sell for today and sponsor for tomorrow. And if you want to reach the real higher levels, I really think you have to have a good sized downline. Otherwise, it's a whole lot of work to you know, get to higher levels of direct jobber recognition. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just asking you these questions. I know where you're coming from, and I also believe pretty similar to what you're talking about. And as most, I think everybody on the phone right now or on the call do also. But it's good to reinforce some of those things. Let's see. Now you do. You're trying to do other things too that other direct jobbers don't do, perhaps, and that's more. You're trying to get more motivation going, it seems like, with newsletters and your conference call. You're the one that got me started on the conference calls. I've been wanting to for years to be able to reach out to remote dealers, because I was holding meetings here in Orlando all the time, and I had good turnouts. We had good meetings, I think. People kept coming, I think everybody got something out of them. And then, but I wanted to reach the remote dealers too, like Elle out there now. Elle used to live in Orlando, and Bob Graff too on the other phone there. He was from Orlando area when I met him, and we would have meetings and whatnot. And now we're able to have long distance meetings in a sense. And But you're the one that kind of got me going in that direction. Now, you've been doing those for a while, and your upline, David and Carol Bell, of course, they do a monthly one, and and you do a weekly one. That's pretty aggressive. And but you more than I do, you do more bring in more motivational type stuff to your you try to get a different you know, you from motivational speakers to tax people to a lot of different things to try to build up more interest for your downline. Does that seem to be working good for your group?
Yeah, George, it it really does work good, and I try to mix it up. I learned from David and Carol. They've had theirs actually since 2000. They've been doing a monthly call since 2000, and they kept saying, "Well, you need to do a call. You need to do a call." I said, "Well, how can I do it better?" That's what I always thought. How can I do it better? And I actually have been involved in several network marketing companies, not so much to really build a business, because I'm firmly entrenched in AMSOIL, but let's say maybe steal some information, and all these big heavy hitters in these other companies, they do it weekly. That's what they do, and it's like a 30-minute deal. And it is kind of more of a motivational type of thing. Of course, most of these other network marketing products don't have a technical of a product that we do. You know, they're selling potions and lotions, as they say, and we're having a more technical type of a product. But they do them weekly, and they keep them 30 minutes. And so I'll listen to a variety of things. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. I'm either reading something or listening to something that I can glean information. I get invited and all the time to different network marketing things, and I don't know if your people would be attuned to that, but if there's a big speaker from another company coming and I know somebody in town, I'm going to go listen to it. I guarantee I'm the only person there with a notebook taking notes of what this guy's talking about. I'm like, oh, how can I use this in my business type of thing?
Exactly. So, you know, I have the same approach sometimes. I get these magazines, distributor magazines from Mac Tool salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of industry. And I always pick up something, little thing about how they're treating customers or how, you know, their top dealers are doing this and doing that. So I'm always looking for little nuggets of, you know, that I can use somewhere in my business, you know. And,
yeah.
So you're doing it by going in and setting in on there, and then also you're going to get a lot of invites too as you get larger in the business. People want, you know, from a lot of these multi-level companies, they see your name or they find out you've got a big following, so to speak, and then they're going to try to bring you on board and thinking they're going to bring your whole group with them, you know, and that sort of thing. So there's some, I don't know what you want to call it, but they're trying to win also.
They're trying to steal you over to them is what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And I've had dealers try to get me through the years trying to do different things. And I told them I'd have to sell my business first because I'm not going to dilute my energies in, it's just too hard, you know.
And there's no successful people that I know that have had, you know, multi-level marketing businesses that they've been successful at. So it's almost impossible. And really, I don't know of any other that I've ever looked at that has everything that AMSOIL has. I look at them and I pick them apart and I think, well, that's kind of I've got one guy that's here locally and he's in a company and. You have to sponsor 30 people before you can get a residual check. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's all kinds of like the matrix systems and things that they just ridiculous.
Yeah. Can you imagine having I mean, most AMSOIL dealers don't even sponsor 30 people, so you have to have 30 people in your downline before you can get a residual check. Whoa.
Guess who makes all that money in the meantime?
Yeah.
the top guys. But this business here, you know, with AMSOIL, it's a real business. The thing about it, and I had a guy that I was going to sign up that has built and left many of these big multi-level companies, and he somehow got a hold of me and wanted to try AMSOIL, and he was going to sign up. And the last minute, he said, "I can't do it." And I says, "Why?" He says, "Because AMSOIL is too much like a business." You know? I
yeah,
says, really?
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, you know, what we do, we need one product. We teach somebody how to use it, how to sell it. and move on and then sell that business and let it collapse later. And there's a lot of them, you know, people like that. But getting back to AMSOIL here a little bit now, you do some trade shows. Now, you just did a trade show in, I believe, Louisville, and it was with the landscape maintenance sort of people and hardscapes and landscapes and that sort of thing. And it sounded like you'd done pretty good there when I talked to you that one day. How did that all turn out? That was a two-day show, and you worked it with, what, a couple of your downline dealers?
Yeah, I had it invited. This is not a inexpensive show. It was $2,400 for the booth, plus you had to, you know, of course, drive to Louisville and stay in a hotel and all that other stuff. So it was not for the faint of heart. The beauty of it is it was a targeted show, which means you had to be in the landscaping business or be a retailer or something to go to the show. It's not, you know, everybody and their brother wants to get out of the house on Sunday afternoon to go look at boats or whatever. So you have people that are targeted in mainly the commercial, but then also retail on the shelf account area. And that really showed by our numbers. We had it was 2.5 days. It started on a Wednesday at 3:00 and went to like 7:30 at night. And then that was only for dealers only. So you had to be a ROTS type of account or some kind of thing like that. And then Thursday and Friday was open to everybody. But we ended up with 56 commercial accounts, 25 ROTS accounts, and four PCs and only three dealers. So mainly commercial, obviously, the type of businesses it was, and then ROTS, we had 25. And that's between all three of us dealers working it. In the booth is a little bit difficult, so we did try to trade out, you know, if there wasn't a lot of activity, one person would go walk around and, you know, the other two would work the booth type of thing. But there were times when there were so many people, all three of us, and there were still people walking by that we didn't get. So,
now, you've been working shows for a long time. Did you notice any difference in these people now? Are we getting AMSOIL more recognized, you think? What did you take away from it as far as feedback from prospects?
Oh, yeah. Lots of people already using it. You know, you try to hand them a piece of literature. Oh, we already use it. Where do you get it? You know, of course, you ask them where they get it, and they just keep walking. We already use it. Good stuff. We love it. And they just keep walking type of thing. Numerous people. I'm not saying the market's saturated by any stretch of the imagination, but the name is recognized, and people are you know, they know about it. They might be using one or two products, and then they see your booth. And I think that's one of the kind of interesting things. And for some reason, the catalog doesn't show. It shows everything, but maybe they don't notice that we have all these products. But they walk to that booth and they see a display of everything we have, or a good portion of things. I didn't know you made this and that. And you know, they might use it in their Harley, but they don't realize that we make it for cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, you know, what have you. And you can sometimes get them registered as customers that way.
But do you feel that out of those accounts that you picked up, do you think you really got some good ones? I mean, it's easy to sign accounts up. You know that, and all of us know that. It's easy to get sign-ups, but it's not easy to get product in their hands. That's the other hard part of it. But some people, sometimes you run into these accounts that, man, they're ready to go, and ready to buy right away. And I just wonder if you picked up many of those.
I've gotten several. I got one guy's a dealer. This is going to be, I think, a pretty good one. He owns a small engine shop on a main drag in a little town in Ohio that is directly across the street from a CarQuest. And he's on the main drag, full storefront type of thing. But he signed up as a dealer, independent dealer, just like you and I. And he's really excited about it.
Why did he do that?
Did you talk him into that, or did he ask for it? I can't remember. I talked to so many people. I think I talked him into it. I don't push it, but I throw it out there just because I don't want somebody to come back at me later and say, "Well, you didn't offer me the dealership option." And I really think retailers have the best of both worlds if they're dealers, because they get to, you know, get a rebate. And I always say, you know, how many of your suppliers currently are giving you a rebate on your products? AMSOIL will give you a rebate if you become a dealer. And so he registered, and he's already posted on Facebook that he's selling AMSOIL, and we just got him a ZO number yesterday. So.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah. So he's
I always, myself, when it depends how much time I have to talk with a person and how much I can gauge interest in that person, I'm hesitant about the dealership option first until I get a little bit to know them a little bit more, or throw seeds out and see where they go, you know.
Yeah.
And but I'd much rather have a retailer be a dealer any day of the week, you know. And it's a more secure account. It's potential for growth is a heck of a lot more. You don't have to worry about somebody trying to come along and trying to steal the dealer from you or the account from you by offering free freight or something, you know. Somebody.
Yeah.
Some renegade dealer coming through and trying to sell out of the trunk of their car. You don't have that happen as easily. There's just a lot of things that are better to have somebody as a dealer.
Exactly.
In my opinion, anyway. Mm-hmm. But, well, that sounds good. You know, even if you it's just like I've always said, if I pick up somebody at a trade show or if I pick up somebody at a Yellow Pages, or some other form of advertising, and I say, okay, I spent X amount of dollars for that particular advertising venue or whatever, and I pick out a dealer that's with me for the next 10, 15 years that does stuff on a regular basis, maybe not have to be that big of a dealer, that one person has paid for that show over and over and over again, you know. So mm-hmm. I kind of cost basis things out like an accountant would in a sense, you know, because every new customer, most of the time there's a cost associated with it, you know. And, you know, and that can be just simple, you paid for your business cards, you know, whatever. There is a cost a lot of times other than face-to-face that you might, and I call that incidental contact,
yeah.
You know. But anyway, that sounds good.
And there's shows that I've done, though, George, that we really didn't get much business out of it. We did the work truck show earlier this year, and it was a big show up in Indianapolis. And I got two accounts that are buying currently out of it, and three of us dealers did it. The other guy, I think, got like one. I don't think we had but 10 or 12 total accounts out of that whole show. It was just a very difficult show to get any kind of account registrations unlike this, and I think maybe because it was a lot of municipalities at the show, but it was called the work truck show, and you know, you pay $2,400 and you just, like you say, do a cost analysis of it. You know, a lot of these accounts, it wouldn't take much to pay for the $2,400, or if you want to divide it by three dealers, it costs each one of us dealers about $600 plus your gas up there. So let's just round it and say $800, you know, for every commercial, retail, and a shelf account at the direct jobber level. And I always put that in you know, parentheses there, at the direct jobber level. If you're just getting started and making 2% at 100 commission credits, it takes a little longer. But at the direct jobber level, you know, you got somebody at 500 making a $500 order, you're going to make $100 commercial retail on that. And, you know, 500 CCs, you're going to make 23% minus 8, so 23 minus 8, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So 500 times 15%, $75, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, if that dealer did $75, 500 commission credits a month, just 500 for a year, you know, times 12 months, you know, that's $900 paid for that show right there off of one dealer buying 500 commission credits for 12 months or what have you. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you do a lot of local shows or some local?
I do some. I've gotten, you know, we get up here and we get lazy sometimes. You know, the things we did before when it's super hot outside or if it's outside events, I just won't do those. I just refuse.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do some indoor events to do training for dealers. I do still like gun shows. I do several of those because they're inexpensive. Okay. You can get a dealer in there and show them what to say and what to do. You got $50 into it, and then I normally let them have the show after we do the first one, or I'll pay for the show the first time and use it just as a training for them, and that works. A couple other local type of maybe a home. If it's inexpensive and it looks like I can get some business out of it, it's great training ground for new dealers. Because see, I did one in Murray, Kentucky earlier this year. It was like a home show, and it was it was basically $50 or $100 for the booth. It was really pretty cheap. And I invited a brand new dealer, has never worked anything. And he says, man, I would have never thought to ask the questions that you ask or put things the way you put it or what have you. And he really got a lot out of that show. He was just fantastic. And since then, he's done 3 or 4 gun shows themselves and does some stuff out there on his own. So that spurred him to be able to go out and do that as opposed to always, I don't want to go to your show. I don't know what to say or do or what have you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I was always wondering about gun shows, if there's much potential there, but apparently you must see something in them to
You'll get a couple of PCs. You'll get a couple of PCs, and you'll normally sell enough MP to pay for the booth. I'll bring like 3 or 4 cases of MP and, sell it at retail, $6-$7 a can, whatever. I mean, whatever
right.
it is. And you'll normally sell enough of those at the show. Pay for the booth or get pretty close.
Yeah, because it's a pretty cheap show, yeah.
They're like $45 a table normally,
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of an idea.
Yeah.
All right, you got anything else you want to share with us before we call it a night?
Yeah, well, I just got a couple of things. Always be learning. That's one of my things. Always try to find something new. You don't have to. It's because you're stuck doing one thing. It doesn't mean you can't reinvent yourself or your business any day. So I'm start over, and I want to do it different today, adding in something new, sending out thank you cards. Just because you haven't done it for 2 years, it's 5 years. Start today. And if you fall off the wagon, start again, 6 months. Just keep trying because it takes a little while to form a habit. The team leadership thing, it really takes its work. It's a job, just like going out and selling products, motivating and sponsoring your team. And you've got to work on that. Right now I'm taking a class on John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. That's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, I would definitely get it. It's got a lot of great information. It's been around for a long time. But I'm actually taking it with a certified John Maxwell coach. There's a guy here in town, he offered for me to join the class. And I'd like to actually be able to take that another step further and offer it to my team that we could do maybe an online class just like, we do here and have him teach it. So that's just kind of interesting. The ROTS accounts and commercial retail, that should be everybody's bread and butter. I know AMSOIL's been hammering on that on their weekly dealer training about working with those ROTS accounts. And I tell you what, I started that way, and I'm constantly finding new ROTS accounts. That I still have my original, my first one I signed up on Dyer Avenue in El Paso, Texas, a little small motorcycle shop. What has that customer made me as far as money? I don't know yet because he's still buying products 15 right. years later, and he's not huge. You might buy $500, $1,000 a year, but, talk about it's like having a CD in the bank or, having some kind of residual income from that. It's pretty amazing when you think about that. The online, I guess we didn't really talk much about online, but, it seems like the market's saturated online, but, I'm finding people just about every day from different parts of the country are finding me and getting registered as, customers. So, don't discount online. I actually had to skip a training class tonight. There's a guy in Nashville that offers, he's a web design. He's got this big company down there, and he offers once a month. He's usually on the last Thursday of the month, and he gives you all these insights of how to get found on the Internet for free, and I go down to that.
Uh-huh.
But find classes locally if you can and learn how to do some of that stuff. There's plenty of things on the Internet as well that teaches you how to get better on the Internet. So, and it's evolved a lot since when, I started in AMSOIL internet, I think AMSOIL didn't even have a website at that time. It was just barely coming online, and I learned how to develop my own website. They didn't have a dealer website you could get like they have now. You had to do it all on your own if you wanted one, and I learned how to do it myself just by reading books and copying other people's stuff on their website. I'd go and look, okay, how'd they do that? And I'd learn the code, how to do it. Now you don't have to do the code anymore. You just, it's pretty easy to set a website up.
Oh.
So, you know, that's one thing to think about. The marketing plan, I guess my last thing, it, you know, it's been said, it works if you work it. So, I use the G1307 dealer direct job rewards and incentives. You don't need to make a goal sheet. Just print that thing out if you don't have a physical copy of it, and just, you know, check off right beside each one of them as you work up the list.
G1307, huh?
Yeah, the G1307 is the dealer direct jobber awards and incentives. And if you want to find it on AMSOIL, you have to go into the training tab under where it's where the T1 certification is at, and then it will have the list of all the certification series training manuals and related documents. It's in there under the T1 documents, and it's called the G1307. But print that thing out, look at it, and I tell you what, I coveted the Regency silver direct jobber ring. I just want the ring of power, you know, like the Frodo and all that stuff. I want the ring of power, you know, and I finally got it. It took 13 years or whatever, but it's pretty nice when you get it. Now I'm looking to get up to platinum and getting some stars on there. So.
And you get your and then get your watch too.
Get the watch next. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
More bling.
I lost my ring. I never did find out what happened to it. But anyway.
Well, now that I got it, I never wear it because I don't want to get it all messed up. But I wear it if I get dressed up or whatever. But it's just the fact I saw it in the magazine and I just kept working the steps. You know, direct jobber. You know, and get up to I firmly believe don't skip account direct. A lot of people skip that or they don't really focus on commercial retail. I think account direct, and that's what my dealer training site is called, account direct, because I think that's probably the most important first level stepping stone in AMSOIL, because number one, you don't have to sponsor, you don't have to worry about whatever somebody else is doing to get that. It's all on your own efforts. So it's all your commercial retail. And I think, you know, so that's a good base to start earning money with AMSOIL, is have a good amount of commercial retail business.
It's your quickest way to make money.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The only other quickest way is to stock it in your garage and sell it. I mean, obviously, then you can make, you know, 50, 60% on it. But now you're working really hard for that. So.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you if you've come up with your exit plan yet.
My exit plan?
Yeah, you say what?
What? Exit. I'm
exit
never
going to
die. I'm never going to die.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my exit plan for commercial retail stuff, of course, the family, I'm always working my family to tell them, look, the check's going to keep coming even after I'm gone. But as far as long-term exit, my goal is to have 100 direct jobbers, and I don't care how many commercial retail accounts if I have then. You know, if I have 100 DJs, I don't have to worry, right? Right, George?
Yeah, your exit plan would be to the South Pacific, probably in a Tahiti and sipping martinis or something.
Well, at least on the farm, I'd probably be buying more acres because they're not making more acres. You know, if I could have 1,000 acres and live in the middle, that would be pretty awesome. You know, ride my four-wheelers or whatever. But
exactly.
I don't really, I guess I have an exit plan as far as ever quitting the business.
The exit plan that I'm talking about, guy hit your cold turkey on that, so I apologize for that.
No, that's all right.
I'm thinking about putting a meeting about that because exit plans, what I'm meaning is not necessarily dying, but, you know, it could be retiring, of course, or forming your business, massaging it in some areas to make it where it's more less work for you. In other words,
self-sustaining type of a business.
Yeah, and your workload less.
Yeah.
And because some business models that we have, there's pros and cons of every business model. And if you're really heavy in ROTS accounts, for instance, and you do a lot of face work with them, or you try to do some sort of deliveries or whatever it might be, like conventional salesmen, that can be what's going to happen when you want to retire or want to slow down. So you've got to figure out some things along those lines too. And then, in my opinion, I'm 67 and. For the last probably 7-8 years, maybe last 10 probably, I've been doing more multi-level than anything for the sole purpose of being more flexible and having more control of my life, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And, you know, you can sponsor, train, and teach people and be 90-something years old or whatever, as long as you have a good mind, but to go deliver products and whatnot, like you're saying, or even doing, if you only did trade shows and that was your business model, loading those things up and, you know, going out to eat. I've got my trade shows now where I got like 3 a year, major ones like this one I just did. I'll do like 3 major ones a year and that's it. I'm not going to drag that booth and set it up. I'm like, man, I don't really like this anymore. It's a lot of work. My exit plan is I've already got that in place. You know, I've got the dealer training site. I've got the training dealers and the calls. I'd like to move up to doing webinars. I'd like to go up and start doing maybe local events for other leaders in the team. I'd like to start doing that. It's kind of on my list of things to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Toastmasters. I've enlisted in Toastmasters for about a year and a half now, trying to learn how to be a better communicator and do less of the ahs and ums and not saying bad words in front of people and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we probably we've been online now for about over a half hour, so
okay.
I need to wind her down because we could just keep talking and talking. And you got a lot of good information, and hopefully this thing recorded. It didn't. We still had a good meeting.
Well, if not, I've got a recording of it, so I'm recording it,
too.
Oh,
do you?
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I logged into my system and then three-wayed myself into your call, so I'm recording it, too.
Oh, great. Okay, then you're going to have to show me later how to set this up so I can put it on the website, you know.
Okay. So, we'll do that.
Anyway,
sounds good, George.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Michael, and everybody else. We'll call tonight and... I don't want to say like Rob Stenberg always says, good selling. I hate that statement. But anyway, have a good one, and we'll be talking to you guys, okay?
Appreciate the opportunity, George.
Thanks, George.
Yep. Good night.
Thanks for coming on board. Okay, good night, everybody.